I wanted to share with you this morning a lot of things going on in Kim and I's life right now, and we are just about ready to... Oh, the kids! Get out of here. Okay, kids are going to... They're pointing at them. I'm like, oh yeah, those guys. Anyway, so children's church in the back. I guess you'd be more polite about that. All right. Well, we are, some of you have been following, we've been working on building a house, not having one built, but actually building it, hammer to nail, nail to boards, and wall by wall, and getting it together. And we're really close to moving in. We just have to finish up one little tile surround in a bathroom, and we'll have a working shower and all that good stuff. So, bedroom's there, all the trim is painted, and flooring's in, and we're ready to move in almost. Anyway, but in the midst of all of that, I began to look at it and kind of God is, you know, I'm a very visual, hands-on kind of person, and God begins to speak through the stuff that, at least for me anyway, the stuff that I experience and go through, and I began to see a lot of parallels in our spiritual life compared to building a house. And now if you've never put yourself through the physical torture, mental stress, or, you know, financial just pressures of building a house, you should really try it. It's just great for you. Reveals your true character. And no, it's been a great process, and the Lord's been in it every step of the way. I can't tell you how many daily miracles, you know, as we made 100,000 decisions and solved 100 problems every day and putting this thing together. But in the midst of all of that, God began to show me a few things, and It was really interesting, you know, because we are, in Scripture, we're compared to God's building. And I have a slide if you want to jump those up there. Go ahead and start them. Looking at me stunned. There we go. Okay. So we had started out, let me kind of back up here a second. We started out with just this little cottage that we lived in, and that's it right there in its pre-destructive state. And we were going to build and add on to it and, you know, put an addition on and just kind of work with it. It's kind of a smaller place. But the more we got into it, it just wasn't equitable to do that. And we went from that to saying, well, we're going to have to tear it down and build new, which is what we did next. And if my slides cooperate, we're having some trouble with them this morning. But anyway, we tore the whole thing down. It's not going to show up, I guess. Back up a couple times. Showing up there. But anyway, we tore the whole thing down and started over building. And in 1 Corinthians 3:9, it says, "For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building." You know, we are God's building. He is, I've got a slide for that, you can back up. Okay. And anyway, we'll get it straightened out. We are God's building. We are his workmanship. He is building us into followers of Christ to be more like Jesus every day. You know, and this is one of the things that I looked at as we were building the house. You know, one of our values, our core values here at North Point is that we're building or growing spiritually strong believers. That's part of what our mission is to build believers, strong, you know, that are going to stand through the storms of life. And in the same way, if you build a house, you want it to be strong, right? You want it to stand up to, you know, you want one of these storms to come through and you know, cave the roof in or something. I mean, you want this thing to last. And so in the process of this, and all those decisions, we're going to look at a few things about building. One is you need a plan. There needs to be a solid foundation. You need to have good materials. You got to have the right tools. And then it has to pass inspection. I mean, that's what we're going to kind of touch on. There's, like I said, hundreds, 100,000 decisions to be made as you build a house, as you put all these pieces together. But we're going to kind of hit the basics today and cover some of this. So the very first step in building was to get a plan. Now, we hired an architect. He drew up a plan, and actually, it's right here. So we had the plan drawn up, and it showed us how to build and what it's going to look like and the walls and all kinds of details. So we knew how big everything was supposed to be and where to measure and cut and where the building was supposed to sit on the property. And this is, as you can see, well used. It used to be all stapled together, but now it's a little tattered and worn because we had to refer to this all the time. And that there is a plan for us as believers in Christ that we have a great plan. You know, we have architect. He did a great job. I mean, there's some great things in here that, you know, he put in as we worked with him and, you know, laid out where the house was going to go and so it would have different viewpoints and, you know, take advantage of the property and all of that kind of thing. And in the midst of that, we have a master architect, the Heavenly Father, the designer of everything, has a plan for us. You know, that I always come back, the youth know, that's my favorite scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, right? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. You know, that's the plan that God has for us. It's a good plan. I mean, it's a great plan. Now, whether we follow it or not, that's kind of up to us and what we do to make this become reality in our life. Now, I could have said, well, that's a good idea. I'll set that aside, and I'll just kind of start building. Now, you can do that with some things. You might be able to put together maybe like a kid's playhouse in the backyard without a plan. You know, but it may not end up exactly as you want it to be. It might look like this one. Is it going to show up? Yes. It might be like that. Now, honestly, though, that's built from a very precise plan. It's probably a really pain to build, but it might be all crooked and wonky, and the doors don't line up, and the windows are, you know, you got to have a plan. And God's plan, he says it's a good plan, it's a great plan to prosper us, to not harm us, to give us hope and a future. You know, I can't imagine not having this and trying to build this house. There's so many details that had to be lined up and in order to make things work out. In Psalm 127:1, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. You know, the Lord's got to be doing the building in our life. It's really not about us even doing the building. We trust that God has the plan, and as we look to him to say, you know, how do I put this into my life? How does this fit? And I had great, my father was a builder. He worked in actually almost all the trades, was licensed, had businesses, and passed all that down to me and those skill sets I had, so we were able to take on this project. And in the midst of all of that, I would call him and I'd go, hey, we're going to put this together. I'm trying to remember how this fits. And, you know, and he came down and actually spent part of the summer and helped and worked and cut boards and, you know, did measurements and all that kind of stuff. And it was just a great opportunity for us to have some time together and just to build. And then there was other, Rod Tubergen in our church was a great consult. I'd call him and ask him about different pieces and parts and codes that were more current than my dad had worked with in the past. And it was just a great opportunity. But we have the same thing. And to work with all of this that God has given us, this plan, we can consult the Holy Spirit. We can consult God and ask him, how does this fit? How do I do this? How do I make this work in my life? So you got to stick with the plan. And one of the things, too, that I think we kind of neglect sometimes is that we have others around us who are working on the same plan. I mean, maybe there's a little bit different, but it's still the same plan to be like Jesus. And we kind of forget that. And we had a great help, and I can't even mention building the house without mentioning George Van Rigemorter. You know, and this isn't just a shout-out to all that, but he helped every single day. I mean, he was there even when he didn't need to be there. And, you know, he came by on Saturday. I'm taking the trash over. I'm like, I can do that. He's like, no, I'll do it. You got to do some other stuff. You know, but we take the people who are around us who are traveling the same direction and lean on them and utilize their help and help encourage us. You know, the Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. You know, that's the same thing we need to put into our life as we follow this plan. That wasn't on my notes. She's looking for it. You know, it's one of those things that we have to rely on each other as we build this thing, as we go forward in the life that God has, as the plan that God's laid out before us. Well, all the way back to the Garden of Eden, God's plan was for us to know him. Ultimately, that's it. 1 Corinthians 3:10-11, it says, by the grace God has given me, 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wanting any that should perish, but all should reach repentance. That's always his goal. They would come to know Jesus as our Savior, that we would receive his forgiveness, because every single person in this room has sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard. There's none of us righteous. Not our best works cannot do the job. We need the blood of Jesus. We need his forgiveness, his sacrifice to make us right so we can enter into that eternal life with him. You know, that's the whole goal. That's the plan. And so the second to the plan, and really the basis for all the building, is the foundation. We have to have a strong foundation. Before we could begin putting the walls together, and you know, as much as I was wanting to get to that, and you know, I wanted to start nailing things together and putting things up and, you know, making it look like a house, you had to get the foundation in. You had to dig and prepare the ground and get the footings laid and all of the basis that the house sits on. so that it doesn't just fall over, so that it doesn't sink and crack and, you know, become all, you know, all your drywall is broken, you know, windows don't shut and things like that. The foundation was so important. It's the base that everything else rests on. 1 Corinthians 3:10 through 11 says, "By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it, but each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." You see, he's the ultimate foundation. We have to base our lives on his foundation, on his sacrifice, on his life laid down for us. We can't build on anything else. And there's, you know, if you have a bad foundation, you're going to have a bad building. If there's a flaw in the foundation, it's going to affect the building all the way up. And Rod Tuberg was saying, now make sure when you're doing your foundation that you check and make sure it's all level, because if you start building on it and it's not level, you have to make adjustments for that. Otherwise, you'll chase it all the way to the roof. And we experienced a little bit of that, because there's a little dip in part of the foundation. Built the wall just like normal, and then I get up there and I'm like, hey, the wall's not straight up here. Had to fix that. Pay attention to your wise counsel. So we went through, and you know, we had to have this foundation. The basis of our life in Christ is based on him and his sacrifice. And people try and build on all kinds of other foundations. Try and build on success in business, or even just trying to win, you know, be popular and things like that, or just trying to do good works to outweigh their bad. Because we all kind of know we carry that around, the sin that we have in our lives. Right? And they try and outweigh it. It's like, I'm gonna do a lot of good things. I give in the offering. I go to church every Sunday, I sing the songs, I do all that. But if we're not tied and based in our life in Christ, if we haven't accepted him as our Savior, we are missing it. We're not on the foundation. You can do all those things, doing all the right things and not tied to the foundation, and it's not going to stand. We have to be tied to that foundation. When we were in the Dominican Republic on a mission trip, we were staying in a kind of a downtown area in Santo Domingo, and there was this skyscraper, I guess they call it, for there, only 20 stories or so going up, and there was two of them, and they used bamboo for the scaffolding, which I was intrigued by this because, you know, 20 stories up, and they're just like tying bamboo together. You know, no bolts and pins. It was just like lashed together. I'm like, that's pretty gutsy. I don't know if I'd do it. Bamboo is really strong, by the way. And I was commenting on this, and the missionary said, well, they're going to tear that down. And I'm like, well, it's not even done. He goes, well, apparently when they did the concrete for the foundation, they used the wrong mix. And it wasn't the right mixture, and it started to crumble, and the building is actually leaning about 14 feet. You could, and as I looked at it, I'm like, oh yeah, you can see it. Because no matter how tall and how great this building looked, the foundation affected everything going up. It wasn't built on a sound foundation. It's so important we understand that. Again, nothing else but the foundation of Christ. Matthew 7:24-27, pretty familiar portion of Scripture, but it says this. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had the foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. It's essential that we build on the rock of Jesus Christ. There's going to be storms come into our life. There's going to be things that will happen, and we need to be rooted, locked into that foundation of Christ. Because the other stuff isn't going to hold us. It's just sand. If you've ever been down to the beach, build a sandcastle by the edge of the water, it doesn't take long and that thing's flattened right back out again, because there's no structure to it. There's no strength. So it's essential that we're tied to that foundation, anchored to the firm foundation of Christ. Well, once our foundation for our house was in, we had all of the cement poured, and it was super solid, and you know, wide footings that it was sitting on. Then the materials started showing up, and that was kind of exciting for me. It's like, now I can actually, because I'm watching. We did hire that part done, by the way. But now I'm able to do something, and all the materials showed up, and the wood showed up, and the piles of lumber, and it was a little daunting too, because there's all these piles of lumber and no house, and me as the connection point, and George to make this happen and look like a house. But the materials I found varied from load to load, from board to board. You know, we had 2x6s that we got. This is a little short one, but ours were 9 feet long or so, 104 5/8 inches. But anyway, pre-cut studs. That's the way they were. And they were great. Some of them were just, I mean, just solid and heavy. You could just tell by picking it up, like, this is a good board. And others you pick up and you're like, whoa, I got a piece of balsa wood. And then you look down it and you would see it go like a big curve, like a banana, or it was twisted like a corkscrew. And oh, actually, some of the, well, this is a beam that we had. I sent back. Did not use that material. And so the materials varied greatly with the quality, and you had to check what you were building with. Because, you know, it happened. We were building a wall, and we're putting this together, and all of a sudden I'm like, George, what's going on? There's like this big gap here. It won't go together. And we're kicking it and, you know, pounding with the hammers, and it wouldn't go together. So I started measuring. Sure enough, that one board is shorter than the rest. Just out of the bundle. It was supposed to be all the same size, but it was short by a half inch. So we had to take the whole wall apart and get that out of there. And anyway, it was a big mess. So you have to check the materials as we were building. And we have instruction in the scripture to talk about the materials you use to build will impact the quality of the building. If we use crooked materials, we're going to get a crooked building. So 1 Corinthians 3:12 through 13, it says, if anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, we did not use any of that in the house, by the way, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. You know, those, that first part of the list, the gold, the precious stone, silver, I mean, those are solid, good materials, right? They would, if you put fire to them, they're going to still be there. But the wood and the straw, I mean, those aren't very good quality materials. And in the scripture, it's contrasting. So, you know, so what we build on is going to be tested. What the materials we use are going to be what reflects the end products of the building, you know? And you don't want to build with straw. You know how that turned out for that little pig? No good. Okay? Go with the solid materials. And in our life, it's the same way, though, in our spiritual life. We face all kinds of influences, media today just streaming into our lives, all kinds of things that we allow into our life. And that becomes the materials that shape our thinking. It shapes our actions. It shapes our worldview. It shapes our view of Christ and the church and our relationship to Him. And so we have to look at the materials, the things that we're allowing into our life. Are they godly things? Are they the precious stones, the silver, the gold? I mean, we always, you know, talk about with our young people, like to look at the music that we're listening to, the YouTube videos, or, you know, all of the media that's coming in, and weigh that. Is it holy? Is it something that's going to build us up, or is it something that, does it line up with God's word, or is it something that's pulling us away from a righteous lifestyle, a lifestyle that pleases God? Is it like taking that crooked board and just going, well, this looks good enough? And that's kind of our excuse, right? It's pretty good. It's not that bad. You know, we rationalize it. And I remember putting a board in a wall and thinking, well, we were running low on boards. And I was like, well, this one's not the worst, but it's okay. Should work. Well, later on, I ended up pulling that board out because as I looked down the wall, there was this one stud that was curved out and the rest of them. So I had more work to take it out later. And so we had to choose our materials wisely. And as we put them into our lives, the same thing. What are we putting into our life? What are we consuming? You know, whether it's our different friendships, you know, the things that we hear over and over fed into our minds. Are we filtering that? Are we controlling that? We do have control over what comes into our lives, right? I mean, you're like, you didn't have to watch that movie. You didn't happen to listen to that song. You didn't have to go out to that particular party or whatever. You didn't have to hang out with that group at work. We have a choice of what materials go into our life. And Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Right? Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Change our thinking. And it says, then you're going to be able to look at that and go, yeah, that one's straight. That one lines up. This one doesn't. This doesn't belong in my life. This has to go. And if we look down at the wall of our life and we say, oh, there's something that's crooked there, you know, that we need to get that stuff out of our life. Those materials, you can't just go, well, we'll just drywall over it. It'll be good. Nobody will see it. Yeah, it shows. And God knows our heart. He knows the stuff that's going on in our life. He knows exactly where we're at. And His design, His plan is to have this great building, this monument to His glory and His redemption for the world to see. It's not about look what I did. It's look what Christ did in me. And others who are in a place of saying, man, my life is full of junk. I can't get out of it. I can't break from it. Is there any hope? Well, that plan is to give us hope and a future, and that hope is shines out for others to see as well. Right? I mean, this that it can happen. You could do this. I think there's such a kind of a swell of like DIY stuff, do it yourself videos online, because people are like, wait, I can do that. I can tile a bathroom. I could, you know, sometimes it takes a little learning to do, but it inspires you to go, I can do that. If they can do it, I can do it. Right? I mean, all these TV shows and HGTV and all those, you know, like people remodeling these old houses, it inspires you. Like, so if we're remodeling our life in Christ, other people go, wait, I can do that. I can, maybe there is hope for me. That's the message. That's the demonstration of God's power at work with us, within us. Well, once we use those good materials, we're going to end up with good walls. We're going to end up with good, strong building. And along with that, though, if we're going to be successful builders in our life, we need to utilize the tools that God gives us. And so every single day, pretty much every single day, we're hooked into the cords now. There we go. Don't worry, Sam, the drum should still work and we're done. Every single day, this tool belt went on. Every single day, I had this on. Now, some people like the tool belt, some don't, but for me, it had everything I needed right there. I have my hammer. I got my cat's paw in case I put a nail in the wrong spot. Not your hand, hopefully. That did happen once. It wasn't too bad. Just one time. But I got my pencil for marking stuff. I got my ruler. Oh, ruler fell off in the truck. All right, well, I have the ruler. Usually it's there. It's on the other side, isn't it? There it is. Wrong side. There. I put it together in the truck. It fell apart, and I was like, okay. So I had the ruler, got all this stuff, so that it was ready to go, so I could take, and I wouldn't be up the ladder, I wouldn't have to climb down, oh, I got to get my hammer, get up there, oh, I got to get some nails. No, I got all of it right with me. And God's given us everything we need in this life to build this spiritual building correctly, strongly, so that it's going to be a testament to His glory, His work in our life. In 2 Peter 1:3, and this is another one of my favorite scriptures through 11, it says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So I mean, everything's right there. All the right tools for the job, He's given us. There's no trying to, there's no trying to put in screws with a hammer. None of that. I mean, He's given us everything we need to do the job correctly. All the tools are there. Everything we need for life and godliness. There's no hack job in this. He's given us everything that we need. We have, we have the tools of His Word to compare. We have the ruler to say, does that measure up to God's Word? Is that really what it says? Is that something I should allow in my life? When we get back to using those materials, we measure and go, oh, this one's too long. This one's too short. It doesn't measure up. And we can check and see if things are square. Does that square with what God's doing? Is that true? Does that line up? We have all the tools that are needed to make this thing work in our lives. And so we have to use them, right? I mean, it's probably one of my pet peeves, if you give somebody a tool, then they don't use it. It's like, I come over, my nephew was helping, and well, I shouldn't throw him under the bus. I had other people help, and he did a good job. He did. He was learning. It was his first time. But I've seen people actually, like, with a pair of pliers trying to pound a nail in because they left their hammer somewhere. Their tool belt wasn't on. They're trying to use the wrong tool to do the job, and it's not doing it. It's taking them 10 times longer, and then the end product is not what it's supposed to be. And God's given us the tools, and I kind of wonder sometimes if He's like, I gave you my Word. How could you do that? How could you mess up like that? How could you not see that coming? You had the ruler to go, is that true? Is that holy? You're like, I don't know, I just did it. Well, it was close, good enough. No, we have no excuse. He's given us everything we need for life and godliness. I mean, that's the power of God in our life. His divine power has given us everything, everything for life and godliness. It's His promises, His precious promises. That's what it says. The promises of His Word, Those are the tools. That's that two-edged sword, you know, that cuts and divides, and it's the tool that does the job in our lives that says, you know, this isn't holy. This has got to go. The Holy Spirit helps us to wield those tools, to use them correctly. And, you know, that's the other thing, is that we need to learn how to use a tool. I mean, I don't know, I probably got tools in here. You're looking like, what is this thing? You know, I could show you how this works. It's a little clip you can put your chalk line on so that it holds it for you if you're working by yourself. You know, how do I use these tools? And if we look at God's word and you're like, I don't know how that fits in my life, well, find somebody who knows how it works and have them teach you. Find out how to apply this word to your life. You know, get involved in a Sunday school class. Get involved in some teaching. Get involved in a mentoring relationship with somebody who is already familiar with the tools, who's already building that spiritual house. And it's profitable to do that for us. It's smart to do that. I mean, if I didn't know how to do something, I found somebody who knew how to do it, and I asked him, like, how do you put this together? How do you make this work? And I learned how to use the tools. And if we have all these tools in our life, they need to be put to use. If we don't, nothing will get built. Nothing of any quality will get built in our life. And we can't get to the end of the line and, you know, when Jesus comes back or we pass from this world and there's going to be an inspection, there's going to be a judgment and say, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with all the tools I gave you? What did you build? And not what did you build a house? What did you build with your life? What did your life show of my glory to those around you? How many other people were impacted by what you did with what I gave you? And some of us can be like, oh yeah, those tools. Yeah, I remember those. Kind of like that Bible we have somewhere, right? And we all have it on our phone now, or you have the ability to have it on your phone, which you have in your pocket right now. What are we doing with it? Are we applying those tools to our life? Are we applying the Word of God to our life? Those are the questions that need to be asked. And 2 Peter 1:5, just continuing that scripture through 9, it says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they'll keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they've been cleansed from their past sins. See, all the tools are there. Now we need to add to our knowledge how to use them. It says in increasing measure. You're like, well, I got a hammer. I've pounded a nail with it. Well, do you know how to pull a nail out with it? I mean, what else are we doing with the tools that God's given us? So we need to add to our life faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, all of these attributes of God's character. And it says if we do that, and if we possess them in increasing measure, okay, not just the same level that we started with. Well, I got saved back in, you know, 1984 and 1989, and, you know, I accepted the Lord, I was filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I started reading my Bible, and I read a couple chapters, and here I am today. No, that's not what he's talking about. Increasing measure, right? More. Add to. Are you more spiritually mature now than you were, you know, a year ago, 5 years ago? Are we just kind of plateaued and we're like content with that level? Because that's not what God wants for us. Increasing measure means adding to it more and more and more. That's the life that we're supposed to be living. And it says that if you do that, if you possess them in increasing measure, it will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. I underline that. Ineffective and unproductive. I mean, no builder in the world wants that label with them. Okay. Yeah, he's a builder. Ineffective, unproductive. Ouch. Right? Well, I sure don't want that in my spiritual life. Whew. Heavy, but I mean, there's some practical things here just to put into practice so that we can experience the plan that God has for us, that life of godliness that reflects his glory. I mean, these are the things that God wants us to experience so that we can build exactly what he wants us to build. The plan that he has for us is a good plan to prosper us, to give us a hope and a future. Because I don't want to be ineffective. I don't want to be unproductive. You know, everybody here, you're building something. Your life is building something. Now, it might be a great spiritual house with all kinds of worship going on and Bible integrated into your life and your actions. But maybe it's that little play shed in your back. It's like, well, yeah, I just go there on Sundays or Wednesdays. You know, this, God's got so much more. We're building something. What does that look like? If we were to step outside of ourselves for a minute and to look at our own life and go, what am I doing with the tools that God's given me? What kind of materials am I putting into my life? You know, we were moving all of our stuff, some of it. It's all piled over Wells Penna's storage building, and he's been so gracious in letting us use that. And so we're thankful for that. But we were over there kind of going through, and I was looking at all these totes of stuff, and I said, this tote was here the last time we moved, and we didn't do anything with this chunk. I was getting depressed, actually, looking at all this stuff. But I was thinking about it. If I was just removed from the picture and somebody else had to go clean all that up, they'd be like, what does this reflect? What does this say? What's important to Mike? What is left in our life after we're out of the picture? Is there a legacy of faith? Is there like, oh yeah, they really love the Word of God. They really were passionate about sharing the gospel. They cared about others. They would pray with you at the drop of a hat. You know, not one of those, hey, I got this thing going on, can you pray with me? Sure, yeah. No, right then. They would just, okay, let's pray right now. I love that. You know, that, is that the legacy we're leaving? Is that the building that's going to be seen when it's all done? Because at the end, it's got to meet God's standard. It's got to pass inspection. I mean, it's not about our works. I understand that. It's grace. We live in grace. You know, we're forgiven by that. It's, you know, that song we sang. I know we laughed this morning as a worship team. You know, we started singing with a hammer in my hand. The nails were cold. Like, God picked all the songs, apparently. So... But in the midst of all of that, you know, what building, what's being built? Will it pass inspection? You know, now our house, we did all the inspections just last week, finished them up. All the inspectors came through, the electrical, the building, the mechanical, the fireplace, all that, and they passed. Everything met code and beyond. So yay, that was a good one. It's a good day. But our life is going to pass, it's going to have to pass inspection as well. You know, what did we do with what God gave us? And in this last part of the scriptures, starting at verse 16, or I'm sorry, small letters, 10, says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you'll receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It says, if we do those things, if we add to our faith all those attributes, if we do that, it says, you'll never stumble. That's what I want. That's all of us. None of us like to stumble. We don't like to fail, right? We want to succeed. We want to experience what God has for us in its fullness. And so make every effort to confirm your calling and election. Make every effort to cement yourself to the foundation of Christ, to utilize good materials in your building, and to take advantage of all the tools, you know, everything that he's given us. Put on the full armor of God. I mean, there's so much that the word is just saturated with for our help. We can't neglect it. So a couple questions in closing as the worship team comes. You know, are you looking forward to God's plan unfolding in your life? Is that something that as you get up in the morning, you're like, I wonder what God has for me today? Or are you just kind of consumed with the busyness of life? And I'll be honest, as we were building the house, it was overwhelming a number of times. Just the sheer number of decisions and pressures of timelines and getting things done. And there was times when I'm like, oh, I haven't prayed in a couple of days. And being honest and saying, you know, that's not how God wanted me to live. He wanted me to say, you know what, this thing I'm dealing with today, I need to bring it to him. This struggle that I'm going through, I'm not meant to carry it on my own. Cast all your cares, all of my cares on him. Present all of those things to him, knowing that he's going to take care of it. He's the solid rock I can stand on in the midst of any storm, no matter what I'm going through in life. And he's going to get me through. And not only get me through, he's going to prosper me. I mean, you know, not a prosperity, you know, like he's going to make you rich, but he's going to prosper you. You're going to come through with flying colors. You're going to experience God's grace in the midst of tremendous pressure. That plan, are we looking for it? Are we tied to that foundation? Are the materials that are going into our spiritual life, our life right now, or that we're allowing into our life that are not good building material? Is it going to be burned up when the test comes? Or is it going to be shown for what it is? Is it going to stand? Or is it just junk? And are we using the tools that God gave us? So let's pray. Father, we come to you. Why don't you stand with us and then we'll pray.